The 18 states suing Microsoft on antitrust charges split evenly into two camps today. One group signed on to the Justice Department's proposed settlement of the case. The other group, nine states plus the District of Columbia, want to go back to court to see if they can win the case and impose tougher sanctions on the software giant. NPR's Larry Abramson reports.
Negotiators were up much of last night trying to drum up more support for the agreement that the U.S. Justice Department had put together last week. But when court convened this morning, only 6 of 18 states had lined up to sign the settlement. 6 others were on the fence. The judge said keep at it, and they did, right through lunch. In the afternoon, New York Attorney General Eliot Spitzer, a leader of the state suit, said that some changes in the document had won his support.
No settlement is perfect, but today what we get is an opening of the marketplace, and what we get is a substantial improvement over the deal that was inked by the Department of Justice last Friday.
Two other undecided states agreed, but that still leaves 9 states that have not signed on. Some are adamantly opposed to the agreement, saying it is fundamentally flawed and full of loopholes. Others seem uncertain what to do. Connecticut Attorney General Richard Blumenthal indicated he was still studying the document, but he also criticized it, depicting the agreement as being built on faith, not on strict enforcement provisions.
The settlement reached today reflects a triumph of hope over history. Some of the parties have reached common ground despite a history of legal conflict. That history is due cause for caution and care in reviewing any agreement.
Blumenthal and others said they may just need more time to study the document, but it's not clear that time will help. The agreement consists of some of the most tortured legal language imaginable. One sentence in a key section runs for 160 words. Many opponents fear that this very ambiguity will make it easy for Microsoft to avoid compliance. But Connecticut's Richard Blumenthal said he would support the settlement with just a few more changes.
Tightening the restrictions, for example, against retaliation, providing for tougher enforcement mechanisms, are a number of the areas where I think the objectives may yet to be fulfilled, and where there may be potential flaws and ambiguities in this agreement that need to be corrected.
There are two ways those corrections can come about. The judge must review the agreement to ensure it's in the public interest. Anyone can submit comments and say the public interest requires tougher language. Or states that are prepared to fight on in court can continue the suit and try to win tougher sanctions from the judge. But that path could take months or years, and that's why Charles James of the Justice Department still supports his agreement as the best way to restore competition.
And our settlement makes sure that that occurs now, and now is important rather than 2 years from now after some extended appellate process following these proceedings.
James clearly wants to portray the settlement as a victory, but that victory is being overshadowed by criticisms of the document as weak and by the defection of several key states after years of a unified front. Larry Abramson, NPR News, Washington.